the next speech, I'm going to talk about our tools we are developing. And I just want to give you an overview of people who are here and the work we connect and we do in our technology house. This is the Monopterus from the English garden. This is our tool. And the name, the idea of this tool was, the idea of the name of this tool was from Alois, Wittgenstein Advanced Search Tools. So this is the house where all those technologies are coming into, and this is organized from us. This is a GitLab where you provide different apps, where you have access to those data, where you try to connect to the knowledge of the philosophy. You try to get information about editorial philology. Then we are implementing with researchers and mostly students. And on this part, I also want to say thank you very much to the students, because they have really worked very much for us to do this. They worked in the background, I think. And we have also the Fachschaft. They are organizing this evening, and I must say also the tables, everything is working, and they do it. And this is very, very good. So in the evening, they will present them at the fest. And on Friday, you will hear this technology. So this will be my speech. The word Finden is very important for me, or for our group, because we are going to describe in English what is a search machine and what is a Finder app. And I found this remark from Wittgenstein, that wenn ich etwas suche, so ist es wesentlich, dass ich das Finden ebenso ausführlich muss beschreiben können, ehe der Gegenstand gefunden ist. This is, I think, very important for us, in the contrary to Google, where you just give in some words and you don't know what's running in the background. It's important to lay out and to show the algorithms, to show the categories which are behind your search machine, that the categories are open, the categories are programmable from outside, the categories of retrieving a document, they are discussed with the philosophies and so on. And this will be a new access to data which is really influenced, strongly influenced from the knowledge of the colleagues. Since 2010, Alois and me, we worked together in this project. They are from Bergen, and I'm very happy that the whole group is here. So this is very nice to see them for the first time here. So what is our Finder app? The most known is app, it's called Witfind. It's presented as a web application. You enter something, and you get a hit. And I think on this page you almost see everything, and in the next slides I will describe the programs, the tools which are behind them. Which is, I think, from this point very important. We use the facsimiles, and this was really an idea which was born from in Kirchberg, 2 years or 3 years ago, where the people really were longing for high-resolution facsimiles and the possibility to read them online and connect them to their search machine to give the aura and also the process of decision of the edition. Okay, here it's very simple what is written here, but you will see slides where you start really to think, what has he written here? The text for Witfind, they come from the Nachlass, which is fixed in the Bergen Electronic Edition. And it was a long course of discussion between the Oxford Press, which is the publisher of the Bergen Electronic Edition, and the Wittgenstein Archiv Bergen, what part of this Nachlass will be open access. And this is also a big topic which we have to think of when we are working with editions. What is open access? And which is under the rule of everyone, or owned by someone, or hidden from someone? So it's really very important to define where can I work open access with my programs. We were this year in Passau at the Digital Humanities in Deutschsprachigen Raum, and John Erwin said, he's from Groningen, he was a keynote speaker, langsames Vorgehen bei großen Fragen. So you see, since 2010 we are working on this field, and we have a langsames Vorgehen. The first entry, the first thing we're going to represent, or which we brought in, was our big baby born here at CIS, our electronic lexicon. Because this is the central work of my former professor, Professor Büttner, and with his people, and he developed a very, very big German lexicon, which was adapted from us for this use of Ludwig Wittgenstein, and I don't want to go more into details. The most important thing is that you have here the lemma and the full form. So this is a so-called full form lexicon, and this is the key to enter phrases, and you can convert those input into the lemma form. From the lemma you produce the other full forms, so your search room explodes immense. And if you are not a native speaker, for example, and you're not familiar with the German morphology, then it's really hard to express or to find all those variants of sagen, sagte, dachte. You just want to enter the lemma, for example, and then you get the hits. So after 2 years working, we found the development of the tools more and more spreading and confusing, and the stress got more and more, mostly in delivering new milestones, also to find errors, and my head was too small to do this alone, so we need a good infrastructure, and this infrastructure was defined at the CIS, mostly from Daniel Bruder. He had the idea to develop a big software architecture and project management, because if the project or the program gets bigger and bigger, it's not impossible to work only with a directory or subdirectory. So you need a versioning system, and this was, of course, the modularisiertes Herangehen. You see here the components, they are gathered in this GitLab, which we, or Thomas Schäfer, our system administrator, he started this for us. So all the components, the software components, here for example, you see the input text, here are the different applications, here is a feedback application, and for example, if something doesn't work, or you're a bug tracker, if you find something is not working, then you send an email. This email is registered, gets a number. This number is in the system. And if another one is assigned to this number, the programmer. So this is a really, really good and important thing for us, which is necessary for us. So also we started with automatic testing. If you enlarge your system, you make errors. And suddenly you forgot the key feature from the 2 years before, and this doesn't work anymore because you added something new. So it's very important, if you deliver new features, you must have optimal automatic testing. Up to now we have manual testing. Angela Krei, she's here, a student, she enlarged the help page more and more, so we can check every feature of the system with a help page. And also, we run two different servers. One is the development server, and one is the milestone server. And this means that if we change something, we do this on the development server. And if we are at the stage where we define, okay, now we run it as a milestone version, then we convert it, and this is done with a branch development in the GitLab. Last week, my heart was racing this was with one command killed. Zack! And then we had to restore it from the scratch from the Leibniz Rechenzentrum, and it took, I think, 2 nights, Flo. Nothing was working last week. And it was a totally chaos. Just one, not RM error, but a little bit more sophisticated inside the system. So, but we run it now, you can attack the development server and also the Redfine server. So these are the two, they mostly look the same. And you see here, regelbasiertes Finden, semantisches Finden, alternieren. Here are the different new accesses and the different structures and categories which are behind this system and which you can choose for access to this data. Now some examples where you need, for example, this lexicon, and this lexicon helps us, for example, to convert sarg to sarcten to sarcten, and also in the inverse lemmatized specification, you can use word form questions, you can specify phrases, you can use wildcards, you can use semantic categories, and everything is introduced from this lexicon. We offered this in Passau. We presented there a poster, and this poster, there were a lot of people were standing at this poster. It was a very nice atmosphere in this poster room in Passau. This poster was developed from Angela and from Daniel. They presented their both projects, and a lot of people, especially, and this was very funny, suddenly someone from Mozart edition from Salzburg were coming and thinking of using our system for a libretti for Mozart. And another one from Würzburg was coming, and she was thinking, oh, can we enter our Richard Wagner edition into your system? Both, I said, okay, we need money, so for whom are we editing? This is the big question here. Okay, then, which is very important, if you use, when you see here, if you use lexical entries like adjective, Eigenname, Verb, then, and you just use the lexicon, then you have a lot of disambiguity. This can be resolved with a very good tagger, and we have the pleasure that the Mr. Tagger from Germany, Helmut Schmidt, is working here in our institute, and it was one afternoon work for him to include our data into the system, so all the data are now tagged, and the disambiguity is much, much more or less as if you access it with a lexicon. This was a bachelor work. If you ask for einfallen, you also get hits of fallen ein. So it detects this is a particular verb, and the hits are presented. Yeah, we also connected with research groups from Italy, which in former times have developed tools for presenting the open source data, and those tools, they are presented in Pisa from the 7net7. They were invited, but at that time they really had no time to enter our system, our conference. Yeah, now I want to show you the first tools. Look. Okay. I must close the application. Here. Suck. Mm-hmm. I think it's not so. Do you see something? No. Where is the system administrator here? I think it's not so easy. Maybe I must stop it with this. So the technology. Maybe I'll make later a demonstration of this tool, or if you're online, then you can use this tool. It's here available Ist schon da.
Ja.
Ach so, aha, okay. Der ist ja. Ja, da kommt er ja. Dann sehe ich aber nichts mehr. Also ich kann Ihnen jetzt ein Tool vorführen, von dem ich nicht sehe. Und das ist wichtig, dass wir Bücher haben, verstehen Sie? Weil der Computer funktioniert in den meisten Zeiten nicht. Ja, das ist nämlich der Ärger. Also, das ist... ich bin zu dumm für Computer. This is very important to say this. Okay, so it's hidden in the atmosphere. Okay. So where is it now? Madonna. Escape. Sometimes slips escape. Usually the students are more familiar than me. That took. Kannst du mich schauen? Show you the sys. Okay. Yeah, this is very interesting because behind this software, Daniel developed the software, you can hit here something and then you get, make it a little bit smaller, and then you immediately, you are in all the big TypeScript texts and you see all the hits as a concordance. So you feel I'm Wittgenstein. you're entering the texts, and immediately with the next key, you select only those parts which fit to this key. So this is auto suggestion used from technology from Google, where you start to enter the name of a city and expand it. But the trick here is it's not only expanded to the right side. It's also expanded to the left side. And this is the name symmetric index structure. So usually it's the right side. This software technology was developed from Professor Schulz and Michoff. They are here in the institute. And they won a prize with this. But they never made a web application out of it. It's more scientific. But we hacked it, so you really can look here, we try some space. So you can go left, right, and you are directly in the text. So this could be very interesting for people just to enter something and you are in the text. And this is implemented, of course, in some kind of beta state. It's not not yet possible to use it as a really system which can be used immediately. So there is still work to do. Okay. So this was the Sys app. The next app, this was developed from David Kaumans. We want to show you the difference between an access which is rule-based and access which is statistically based. And this is done from Google. So in the background, there runs a search machine tools like Lucene, for example, and you enter some keys and they present you remarks where those keys are prominent. So this is done from this tool. This is the latest element where we are thinking of a graphical definition of questions, where you say, okay, a verb followed from det, then rot, nomen, verb, and then you can hear, you get this hit. So we want to present one day a graphical tool where you enter words, connect them with errors, fill them also with semantically categories. So maybe one day we can offer a computer game based on the language of Wittgenstein. So we have the Sprachspiel online. So this would be very interesting. And we thought of it, maybe we allow the people to insert their own texts. So you can use this Sprachspiel on Wittgenstein in parallel on your own text. So you see the same formulations in your text, and this is done with this grammatical editor, and this will be presented on Friday. This is also a new component, the Geheimschrift. A lot of parts of Ludwig Wittgenstein are written in Geheimschrift, and Angela is, I think, the first who offers an online tool for a translation. You can use it in both times. If you enter here the German, then you have here the translation. So here you can check or you can translate all parts of his Geheimschrift. And she found very interesting things, that it's not only a symmetric Geheimschrift, there are some tricks and some errors and some corrections. So she will tell you on Friday how she programmed this and what's the result of this. And this is our most important part, because the OCR recognition and highlighting in text has here a very long tradition. Professor Schulz, the other professor here in this institute, had a long project running. It was called IMPACT, where they were working with texts from the medieval ages, handwritten texts, and they developed a tool. Uwe Springmann will show you the tool behind that, which is used to define where are the hits, because in the facsimile. Our aim is, and here you present on Friday several speeches from students, bachelor works. We present tools who are going to highlight the text where your hit is. Here we just extract it, here we highlight it, and here we have a facsimile reader where you really jump through the text. I just show you that. This is on the developer version. Thank you. This is our. What? Windows P. Zack. Look here. Now we run through the facsimiles, okay? But this was programmed here. But we only don't run it. We also highlight. If you make a question, then you get 300 hits, and then you can run through the material, and every page where you have a hit, this remark is highlighted. So this was done from a student here, and very good. This is the job of the editor. Okay. Okay, so this is really one of the last thoughts we made together, my colleague Josef Rothaupt. I'm in big discussion all the time about his ideas and our ideas, and it's always a funny struggle between those philosophers and those bit and byte turner like we are. And his main sentence is always der Philosophie ranlassen. And this means that, but because we are always very fast, we are victims of our problems, of our programming problems. And we lose the contact to the real big questions. So I think, as Wittgenstein also said, if you think something or you make a question, you ask something, you must find the formulation. Yeah? And I think the same problem have we. We try to write algorithms, but the philosophers, they must learn to formulate it, to make a formula out of it. And with this formula, we can start some algorithms, and with our algorithms, we present results which are wrong, and they must recalculate the formulation. So this is always a loop between philosophy or the additions. So this is, of course, the most important sentence. Wovon man nicht sprechen kann, darüber muss man schweigen. Ein wunderbarer Satz, gehört aus der ersten, from the first stage of Ludwig Wittgenstein. But I think if you speak about Wittgenstein, we can help with our tools that you find really all the very most hidden remarks in this Nachlass, if we do the job good. And if we can build up a fruitful interdisciplinary cooperation with you, excellent researchers from different areas, thank you very much. Ja, bitte. Der Steinbruch. Also, bitte schön. Okay, so if you are interested, maybe you are here for an access, then you can try your access to the server as you want. And the components around, they are really discussed the next 2 days. Yeah, bitte.
Coming back to the discussion we had before about the vanishing text, it occurs to me that what you have been presenting here, that's really a big contribution for the text to vanish. Because at the first approach it seems that searching is presupposing some fixed material, and you are so there is this haystack or the Steinbruch, and you are searching for a needle in the haystack. But as I listened to you, my impression was increasingly: there is no haystack there anymore. There is no Steinbruch there anymore. It disintegrates. You get words and words and words, symmetrical, asymmetrical, statistically, whatever. You can do all sort of magic stuff with words, but it's not. It's not in any way connected with Wittgenstein. You could do this with a TV program. You could do it whatever you like. So the specificity of the text is something you are sort of distracting. I mean. Your point seems leaving place for philosophy. Let me put it in a different way. How much is this a distraction, like in a PowerPoint presentation when you have these slides turning around and doing all funny sort of stuff that distract you from what's actually going on? And to which amount is it helpful?
Yeah. This is true. What I presented today, there are a lot of different views of the same text. But we started last year a project. This was a semantic access to Wittgenstein. And there, for example, we collected the ideas of his color system. And we present now categories from the color system of Wittgenstein. So this could be the basis for the researchers to develop new formalizations. And for example, the color system, then you can present Glanz, and then you get a lot of words which collect, you say, der Glanz Baum. And then you just, so we are going to find semantic categories specially out of your environment, of your ideas, from your philosophy, and present them. This is what I'm thinking of in the next future. And we will present this kind of categories to you, open for extending or for changing. So you will offer a Wittgenstein view to his own data. Also thinking of ontologies, which Alois is making, or the over the years, the text genese. This is not yet presented here. And these are all the stuff which we must learn first, and where we have to think of interfaces to present them here online, so you really find familiar with the texts and with the ideas of Wittgenstein which you are searching for. This is really just more stuff, and you're right, you can use it for a TV program. This is correct.
Yeah, I mean, you can use it for a TV program or other purposes, but at the same time, there are at least some features that are for the Wittgenstein scholar immediately, intuitively, very useful, like the lemmatized search. And that's the thing that has me from the what I was from the beginning very enthusiastic about. I mean, we have no lemmatized search in the Bergen electronic edition, and here, through the cooperation with Max and his team, we right away got the lemmatized search, and it makes a huge difference for the Wittgenstein scholar. And if you then, what they are also working on, add semantics, well, you're working towards semantic search, so that you can include word fields or conceptual fields, then it gets even more exciting. So I think the Wittgenstein scholar can find himself there at home right away, at least with some of the stuff. And then some questions develop, and suddenly you see that CIS has developed a tool also for that, but not all the tools need to show their usefulness and usability right away. It's I mean, I think this is as we go along.
I think it's important to state again that it wouldn't. These are different approaches that we offer, and of course I think you would agree with me that it doesn't make sense to print books full of lists and tables. And so these are different approaches where we need to, both of the communities need to find some middle ground between the useless printing of paper with lists and tables and whatever, and also electronic forms of approaching the text. And there's still, in the beginning, it's a langsames Vorgehen. This is also where the dialogue between the communities needs to happen. But going for books only won't be the key. Going for electronic access only might also not be the key. These are different approaches that we offer, and that's.
Ich finde es hochinteressant und möchte in puncto Lemmatisierung auch an die Konkordanz der Wiener Ausgabe erinnern. ich habe die, also da gibt es ähnliche auch Charakteristika der Herangehensweise, aber auch ähnliche Probleme. Zum Beispiel die verschiedenen Lemma jetzt, wie sie angesprochen werden, sage, sagte, gesagt, da könnte man noch hinzufügen, die Sage im Vergleich zum Märchen oder zum Verb sagen. Diese, die Differenz zwischen syntaktischer Bedeutung und semantischer Bedeutung ist in der deutschen Sprache ein sehr großes Feld. Und ich möchte nur kurz erwähnen, dass ich an dieser Konkordanz der Wiener Ausgabe mitgearbeitet habe und etwa fast ein Jahr lang genau diese Spezialfälle versucht habe auszusortieren. Und damals dachte ich mir immer, das muss doch möglich sein, dass es Gemeinschaftsprojekte gibt, weil das ist ja der deutschen Sprache sozusagen, das bleibt sich gleich, egal ob ich jetzt einen anderen Philosophen oder so ein Programm entwickle. Und da dachte ich, dass deshalb finde ich das sehr interessant, dass es da also dass es eine Gemeinschaft von Leuten gibt, die sich mit diesen Problemen auseinandersetzen. Also da möchte ich noch kurz hinzufügen, auch in der, in der literarischen Sprache, und Wittgenstein spielt sehr oft mit literarischen Elementen, kann daraus geradezu eine Stilform entwickelt werden, dass man bestimmte Attribute anders verwendet als üblich. Und das ist dann etwas, was nicht auf alle Autoren übertragbar ist. Und da könnte man vielleicht auch gesetzmäßig herausfinden, oder stilistische Merkmale von Wittgenstein.
Okay.
Dann noch ganz kurz zwei Punkte, die Kontextangaben, die Sie beschrieben haben. So ist hier die Konkordanz der Wiener Ausgabe aufgebaut. Also die, da fließt der Text nach rechts und links.
Mhm.
Das Lemma ist in der Mitte und der Kontext erweitert sich nach rechts und links.
Ja.
Da wollte ich nur daran erinnern, also dass das auch diese Lemmatisierungsprinzipien.
Ja, wir haben da auch gekupfert, beziehungsweise reused these ideas, of course. But this is a standard way, and this is all since.
Ich möchte nur daran erinnern, weil Herr Nedo jetzt gerade noch nicht da ist und eigentlich ist es auch sehr stark mit der Konkordanz zu tun.
Ja.
Meine Auffassung war immer, dass man sowas in einem Kooperationsprojekt machen soll.
Ja.
Ich bin damals fast ein Jahr lang bis halb zum 18, habe ich wieder Ausdrucke bekommen und musste dann in den Computer ausdrucken, die kleinen Laubformen wieder zusammensortieren. Also das kommt eben daher, wenn man nicht gesagt unter G aufhört, sondern ein Lemma schafft, sagen, und dann die ganzen Subgesagt sagen, gesagte. Dann subsumieren wir. Das ist natürlich schon sehr nützlich, aber das macht auch eine Menge Arbeit.
Ja, also da möchte ich kurz was sagen, vielen Dank für die Bemerkung. Also erstmal Konkordanzen, die gibt es schon lange, das ist hier Kollokationsbücher. Das ist, und die algorithmische Erstellung von Konkordanzen ist ja relativ leicht für uns. Und diese Disambiguierung der lexikalischen Einheiten, ob das jetzt ein Verb oder ein Nomen ist, das wird Gott sei Dank hier, der Helmut sitzt hier, der hat jahrelang, for years he was researching in this field and developed a statistical tagger. So this is called part of speech tagging. This is an available technology which makes disambiguation. It's, I think the errors are, I don't know, where are the errors of disambiguation? Can you tell something about this? It's hard to say, especially here. His problem is with this text are a lot of alternatives. Suddenly, because his tagger is trained on German and regular texts. And if you look on the edition, then you suddenly have der Schwarz, vertical bar, rot, ball. And if he throws away the XML, then he gets Schwarz, rot, ball. And suddenly he has a problem in detecting. This is not a legal sentence, of course. So, which is very, very important for us, that we, for our input, to make a success, to make a successful disambiguation, to get the input as input all the alternatives, all the variants of readings of this text. So we should have two sentences: der rote Ball, der schwarze Ball, and then his tagger works. So, but then I think. How was your idea of the errors in this system, in this data?
How many errors you get?
Yeah.
I think we never measured it. So, I mean, typical error rates are somewhere in between 3% and 5% on texts which are well suited for part of speech tagging, but that can go down, of course, if you have many typing errors and other mistakes, many unknown words, then of course the
Okay, bitte.
Ich bin angesprochen worden, in der Tat, ich mache mich stark, dass auch die Philosophie Raum hat. Würde aber sozusagen ein Stück weit betonen, was meint man mit Philosophie, solange wir nicht richtig verstanden haben, wie Wittgenstein schreibt und philosophiert, da ein tiefes Verständnis haben, tun wir uns schwer, damit auch umzugehen. Zweiter, wo ich mich auch stark mache, das ist die Philologie. Und da würde ich da ein bisschen fragen, einerseits um die exquisite, gute Möglichkeiten zu sehen, dass man auf Faksimiles Zugriff hat, auf Worte etc. Ich sehe das aber als Tool, das mir die Möglichkeit gibt, als Forscher damit umzugehen. Angesprochen allerdings wäre, und das sind Dinge, die zu klären sind, was ist eigentlich die Grundlage, was hier gefasst wird? Welche Texte von Wittgenstein sind? Wie sind sie transkribiert? Sind sie überhaupt Texte von Wittgenstein? In welcher Ordnung sind sie? Welche Markierungen haben diese Texte? Solange das nicht ganz klar ist, oder um ein wirklich ein brisantes Thema ist, welche Auswahl präsentiert man? In einem Buch oder im Internet? Wenn man im Internet bestimmte Schriften auswählt, weil man im Kopf hat, Wittgensteins Main-Schiene waren die philosophischen Untersuchungen, dann hat man eine gewaltige Entscheidung getroffen. Ob das so ist, muss man erst nochmal diskutieren. Also darauf aufmerksam zu machen, um die Dinge sozusagen voranzubringen auf einer großen, breiten Ebene. Das wäre sozusagen.
Yeah, thank you very much for this speak. It's really a big problem. What are the texts behind those search machines? And where are the decisions? And these decisions are made from the philosophers, the editors of this Bergen, Wittgenstein Bergen electronic edition, or maybe NEDO one day. And I thought this was also, I think we could lower this problem a little bit with offering the facsimile. Because then really you see you see the original, and then you can decide. But what are with part of the text you don't find because they're not in the edition, of course. I mean, this is a big problem.
Nochmal kurz dieses, die generalisierte, die Probleme, die sich in der ganzen Deutschsprache gleich bleiben. Also die Unterscheidung, ich schaffe das Lemma sagen, und darunter gehören die ganzen Subkategorien der Verbformen und Deutungen. Das ist was sehr Allgemeines, und das müsste man natürlich am besten in einer sehr großen Teamarbeit machen. Ich möchte aber jetzt noch darauf hinweisen, was alles gemeint hat mit dem Conceptual, also da wollte ich einmal darauf hinweisen und fragen, ob Sie schon in die Richtung arbeiten. Denn wenn man, um es ganz ein konkretes Beispiel zu nennen, der Begriff Kalkül, der nur bis, was weiß ich, 1932, 33 verwendet wird, als philosophischer Terminus und dann nicht mehr als der in der Bedeutung, also inwieweit man ganz konkret die Entwicklungsgeschichte des Begriffs Sprachbildung oder des Begriffs Aspekt, also da könnte man ja eigentlich, um es ganz konkret jetzt, man könnte ja irgendwie eine Auswahl von 5, 6 Begriffen schaffen, und also von philosophischer Terminologie, und die uns schauen, wo die dann in welchen Kombinationen vorkommen oder sich verändern. Also das fände ich, das ist ja mit Teil von so einer Sache. Also wenn man das jetzt konkret an eine philosophische Terminologie binden würde, könnte man da unter Umständen hochwertvolle Sachen ausfinden, wie sich das so verändert.
Da bin ich überzeugt. Also mit den Farben haben wir es ja versucht. Also wenn neue Begriffe auftauchen, diese Begriffe werden natürlich in die Konzepte, die werden in Bergen, mit den Primary und Secondary Sources werden hier gesucht und auch gesammelt und verlinkt. Also das ist Teil der Arbeit, die in Bergen hier von Aris, aber die Frage war direkt zum Aris.
Das war nur in der Lernhinweis, oder was ist sehr wichtig ist in dieser Richtung.
I mean, what we do is, for the secondary sources, that we collect keywords, organize them, and they are searchable for the primary sources. We have not yet, we have started to develop, what should we say, the taxonomy, but that's work in progress. And at the same time, here at CIS, they have worked on the color, Begriffsfeld, and so, I mean, this is a field that is slowly being treated, but it will take a long time, and surely there are some, I think also there one can expect some help from digital resources and tools.
Yes. Okay, another more?